There are some unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
And, yep. Most regrettable.
And here we are, back with a late episode, recording on a Friday, releasing on a Friday.
Nice.
I gotta keep my mind sharp today. All right, got lots to do. Lots of work to do after this, so we're getting it done nice and early.
Try and knock one out,
yes. and not drink 14 beers.
Gotcha.
Because I'll tell you, the last time that I drank during a podcast, I fell asleep at work. Yes.
We talking about the little, I don't know what social media I was on, but I watched your sister.
Yeah,
do like a night before Christmas.
Kind yeah,
of yeah, exactly. The one.
That was hilarious.
That was very funny.
Yes,
very funny.
Put that on the show today.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, we put hilarious. It on the show, and it hit very well. I laughed very hard, but yeah, it was during the. I told you too. I was leaving, and I was like, oh, I got the dang auction. I gotta run the board for tonight. Not run the board, but set up.
Yeah. And turn on and then
and turn on and leave. Wait. And
yeah, then, or wait. Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
And then turn off.
Yeah.
You know, is how I usually do it, right? I just wait for him to close up the auction. It was going to be a quick one and turn it off, right? So I go and set up all the equipment and I get back to the radio station and I sit down and I had a few beers earlier that day.
Right.
And I was tired. You know, it was late already.
You stop drinking too.
Yes.
You get that tired feeling.
Exactly.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Start drinking water or whatever you're drinking otherwise.
The only cure is to get back to drinking.
Exactly.
That's pretty much it. So I'm sitting there in the executive chair, you know.
All comfortable.
All comfortable. I decided.
Did you put your feet up?
I did.
Oh, that's the
nail.
Yeah.
That's the nail in the coffin. Well, I'll tell you what I did before I put my feet up. I turned the lights off. Too, because it was just nice in there. It felt Christmassy.
Yeah.
So, and then put my feet up, and I was watching like a debate.
Drank a bottle of prescription cough syrup.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
A little heroin.
Yeah. It's not anything I have to sit there and run. I just got to listen, and then when they close it down, I send it back over to the satellite, and I end up falling asleep, and I wake up to Jen rushing in there being like, Tyler, the auction's over. Like, it's been dead air for 20 minutes. And the equipment's still over at the bank and all that stuff. So, yeah, definitely fell asleep on that one. So.
Now, is that like, would you say that was the first major fall asleep you've had?
Oh, yeah.
At that radio station?
I've never done that at the radio station.
We were just talking the other day on the air about times we've fallen asleep on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I fell asleep here at this radio station when I worked at it previously when I was just an employee, and I was traveling from Rattan to Broken Bow. I had young children,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, so I wasn't getting
you were not sleeping.
Exactly. I was not getting the sleep I'm getting today.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and I wake up to my to the host of the show looking over me like, you are snoring on Swap Shop. So it was one of those yeah, I'm out.
Don't know what happened.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I've nearly fallen asleep in the station after the show. I was so tired and like sitting there. Oh, I was doing like the downloads for the church stuff. So it was like it takes forever. Like you got to keep loading in these 30-minute segments. And
click, wait 15
wait
minutes.
Wait 15
click,
minutes.
Click,
exactly.
Wait 15, yeah.
And I was just sitting there just like nodding off like, you know.
I have certainly gone to work to take a nap there before.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, you know, on a Saturday, like, I got to go up there and do some stuff. And just go up there, throw my feet on them. Yeah, just take a quick 20-minute nap.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The chairs are so nice.
Like once.
But yeah.
There was a pillow upstairs. It was good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. You could just hide up there.
I think I may have taken a couple of naps up there in my
room. I think something's been living up there in the attic of our building.
So the sales manager.
Yeah. Our regional sales manager.
Oh, trouble at home?
So, and I've been feeling like a dud. I've been feeling like a dud all week because I'm playing video games. That's when I have nothing to talk about but video games, or nothing to think about. Like when I get into video games, that's when my radio life goes downhill, because what'd you do last night? I got nothing.
I saved the world from dragons
and
rescued the princess.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm playing the game. I almost called you Greg.
Dude.
I'm playing the game that I made fun of for like a year straight. That Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
Yeah, they released a new update and all that kind of stuff for it, so I decided to finally try it.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Really?
Absolutely incredible. One of the coolest, craziest games I ever played.
Now because of the update, or it was always incredible?
No, I think the update helped it along.
Okay.
Yeah. Because remember, we were talking about on the way here, like, remember when it released, it was like, it played like shit. It didn't work. It was buggy.
Yeah.
And it like fried a few PlayStations and stuff. Just the game itself just destroyed.
Didn't meet its promises.
Exactly.
A number of things, right?
It was a $70 release, you know, like the people were
just par for the course with that stuff nowadays. All these games, Starfield, you know, now it's like, here, we're just going to rush this thing, give it to you, and then you test it for us for free. Actually, you're paying us to test our game for us. And it's not just video games. I mean, it's cars. Look at all the recalls. I know they got a big one out on one of the new Hondas. I forget which one. The same cars had 22 recalls this year.
Dang.
In addition to this latest one, I think it's something to do with the brakes just stopped working or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a critical one.
Yeah.
But the car manufacturers have realized it's much cheaper to just rush these things out every year, let the consumers do the testing, pay for a liability lawsuit here or there, than it is to actually put these things through their paces back at headquarters.
Speaking on video games, y'all saw the trailer for the next biggest possible
GTA
game ever.
Yeah, letdown ever. Oh no,
besides Minecraft,
GTA 6.
Do you think it looked good?
I mean, sure. It didn't. I mean, you know, I never really enjoyed the game portion, you know, playing through the game as much as I enjoyed just the open world.
Exactly. I don't think they're going to be breaking any new ground, really. Yeah. It's just going to be
a new city. Is it Miami?
Yeah.
Is
Miami,
it
consider- yeah.
like
Vice
Miami?
City.
Yeah, my Vice City. Yeah. Yeah.
Make it more immersive, I guess, is really all they could do. Which they, I feel like there's some things they did in Red Dead 2 that to up the level of immersion that's not present in Grand Theft Auto 5. Mm-hmm. So yeah, modernize that, bring it over to Vice City. But I'm extremely skeptical when it comes to video game trailers. Mm-hmm. I take them with such a grain of salt because you never know if you're just seeing cutscenes with really good graphics or if it's actual gameplay or it's very filtered, selected gameplay. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things. Like I can't learn anything from a trailer.
Right.
Yeah. I have to play it.
If I believe correctly, I believe the GTA 6 trailer was in engine.
Okay.
Yeah. So that means,
it's supposed to be.
I think it probably has potential. I mean, again, like, I don't think it's going to break any ground, but probably potential to be like another all-time great, just Five was, because it's endlessly playable.
I said the Five is second most successful game ever. First,
I think so.
Of course, Minecraft.
Yeah.
And then GTA 5 being second.
Yeah. Well, here's kind of my question. Minecraft is a great example of somebody that had something and then sold it, and somebody made it 10 times better. Mojang.
Yeah.
With this, my question is, GTA 6 going to start out like GTA 5 did, where it was much more limited?
Yeah.
And then they open it up as the years go on.
Yeah, to keep
it
alive.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you get more money, you open up the game with, you make it 2/3 when you open it up, and then a year later, they're like, here's this thing you can buy that makes it.
Yeah, you just trickle out the content.
Which would be actually kind of cool.
Which you can appreciate it a little bit. Like, Rockstar does it well. At least their 2/3 of a game is still better than most.
Yeah.
You know, everything that you can get, and then the trickle of content is like, it keeps it fresh. True. You know, at least.
There's that one razor that you should never attribute maliciousness to something that's better explained by incompetence.
Right.
But I wonder, with what I see with video games, if maybe that's not true, if that's exactly opposite. Is I have always considered, I think, like, the when they come back and fix these games, it's just because they were incompetent in how they introduced it, delivered it, or whatever. But no, maybe it's purposeful. Make the games bad at the beginning with the ideas like, we're gonna make it better as it goes on and on, and it's just gonna keep you hooked.
Yeah,
you know, a little. It's like just giving you a little bit of life support here and there. You know,
this topic is funny and topical right now, because last night a game released on Steam that people have been looking forward to for like 2 years. It's actually the most wish-listed unreleased game ever.
Okay.
Like 300,000 people put it on their like wish list, like, I'm going to buy it. Not pre-ordered with my actual money, right, but saying, like, I'm going to buy this when it comes out. It was like modeled as like the DayZ killer a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I forget what it was called by now. It was like Left Behind or something. No One Left Behind. I don't remember what it was. But, you know, the trailers, of course, looked amazing, and people were going crazy over it. I've been kind of paying attention to it for the past year. And not enough, though, because I didn't know it was releasing last night.
Right.
Absolute dud. Like, it came out $40 early access. So they never said, they were like, this is going to release, full game release.
Right.
And it released into early access, which nobody... I mean, about, well, yeah. I mean, you probably could have predicted it, but
and that means it's still like a beta testing. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's the most bare bones. Like, there's no melee combat. There's no like, it just, it looks really bad. And it turns out to be not like DayZ at all. It's more like an extraction shooter. So you like, you're in like a safe area, and then you go to the play area and you try and loot and not die and extract out with the loot. And people are hating it. Like, I woke up this morning and I like pulled up YouTube and it was just, you know, people like, oh, of course this game stinks. Yeah, you know,
par for the course lately.
Yeah, yeah. $39.99 to release into early access. That's basically full game price.
I mean,
you know, especially from an indie studio. There's games that are not full access that release completed at, you know, $30. You know, $30 is fine. You know, and I think some odd 60,000 people bought it at $40. And like, some people are like, this is just a cash grab. Mm-hmm. I think already been flamed in reviews and everybody hates it. So it's interesting, man. It's true. The video game could, like, so it started with AAA games are the best. Then AAA games started falling off and the indie developer came out of nowhere and like released some great games. And then it was like, well, we'll give these indie developers a chance with this early access stuff still in beta.
Right.
I'll support it. And hopefully it gets better.
And people loved beta.
People loved beta, you know, and this is like free beta, you know, just get all, like Patrick said, get all the people who buy the game to play test it for you and we'll continue working on it.
Right.
And you had games like The Forest and some other big titles that that nailed it, you know, in the early to mid 2010s. And then, so when AAA's amazing, AAA sucks, indie's amazing. Now this whole early access thing to give these indie guys a chance, and now it's at the point where everybody's abusing the early access and AAA sucks.
Yep.
This is absolutely the worst generation of gaming, and it should be the best.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not fun anymore.
We should be on the cusp of some of the greatest movies, video games we've ever played in our lives.
Yeah, those are the consoles now that have more power than ever before. And I have, you know, you hear, you can go back to Xbox One, Xbox 360, right? The PlayStation. So there was always like the pinnacle games with those. I've still the newest level of the Xbox and PlayStation has been around for a good while now, right? A couple of years, and I've not heard any pinnacle games for those consoles yet. Of course, I don't own one, so I'm not in the.
But
in
there's
the loop
not
as
any.
Much. But
there's not.
Yeah,
any.
I mean, like,
could it be argued that the really good game makers are trying really hard on virtual reality right now?
I don't think so, because it's such a small, like, you know, like, and virtual reality certainly doesn't have any bangers, unless you're into, like, I mean, the big virtual reality games are, in my opinion, a little bit disgusting. Like, I'm not a prude when it comes to violence and stuff, but this type of stuff is like, the only popular VR games are the ones where you're literally ripping heads off.
Yeah, you can like shoot somebody in the dome.
Yeah. And just take a knife and just stab a person in the face a bunch of times and throw their body and grab the next one.
Or the ones where you're walking some sort of like high beam. Where you feel like you're falling off those, it's about it.
Yeah, roller coaster game, you know, crap like that. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's still pretty novel. Nobody's pouring that much time and effort into it, I don't think, until the technology gets a little bit better. Half-Life, there was a Half-Life game released for VR that was, you know, but as far as all that, and then you could argue that I've seen some people argue when it comes to the state of video games and why it's bad is because this is how it used to go. You would either develop a game and focus on it being a PC game that then gets ported to Xbox stuff, or you create a game for Xbox.
Right.
Right? That's it. Halo.
Those
right?
have been Xbox all, always only. Been the best ones.
Exactly.
You're right.
Ones that didn't cross-platform. They were designed down to a T for that particular system. Now,
they were launch games, right?
Launch games.
Yeah.
Now they have games that all the games they want them to play across everything. So now PC games have been brought down by the limitations of the console. It used to be make an amazing game on PC and hopefully we can port it over in a playable fashion.
Yeah, some 5-10 years later, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Now games are developed to be played on less than 10 buttons.
Yeah.
Instead of the PC, which has as many buttons as you need.
Right.
You know? So it's an interesting thought to think that like that's where our Elder Scrolls or Fallout. Fallout's a good one. Fallout originally made, that's a computer game. Then as it gets released, it's just less and less stuff is in it because the Xbox can't hold that much as the PC can.
Gotcha.
And it got to the point where now it's like completely dumbed down and brought down to a console level rather than being developed for PC and then port it over. So that's an interesting one to think about, like how games are being developed in general. And then if they focus on it being a PC game, then they can harness the power of a PC that you can build and all the buttons and UI and all that kind of stuff that you can do. So, but if we keep seeing games some people do argue that. There's that game Elden Ring. I don't know if you guys have seen anything on that game. It was released like 2 years ago. Supposed to be incredible. I mean, an incredible experience. Cyberpunk, which I can attest. This is when I was playing this game over the past few days. I'm like, this is a next gen. This is my absolute first next generation game experience. The other one I can remember is Red Dead Redemption 2.
Nice.
I mean, that game was when I played that. I was like, okay, this is the future of the future of gaming. It has surpassed most shit.
It definitely feels like Rockstar is leading the way when it comes to that.
100%.
They're definitely keep that quality over quantity. Kind
Agreed.
Of they're fine working on a game for years and years and not having.
Yeah, they don't need.
You know, not like EA or Ubisoft. That has got to have the next one out every year. You know, I think Grand Theft Auto 5. Came out in 2012 or 2013.
It's over 10 or 12 years ago.
Around a dozen years. Yeah. You know, it's been
still,
out.
It's
still the most popular.
Absolutely,
game.
Absolutely, yeah. One of them. I still put it on from time to time. Yeah. And I'm kind of with you. The stories are a little goofy. I have long said it's like it's a game that I've never even come close to beating, and I think it's one of the best I've ever played. But the missions are they're generally pretty goofy. But as far as
some
the immersion, some of them are fun.
Yeah, some are fun. Yeah.
You know, I had like the first heist one. That's as far as I've gotten. Is where you break into this. Jewelry store.
Yeah.
You know, you can do it a couple. You can go loud or quiet, you know, and I like the little options there. And the music, of course, it was Tyler who I had never even heard of the band before, Tangerine Dream, who does all the in-house soundtrack for it, those like soundscapes and that's some really...
Escape from New York music, basically.
Yeah, it works just so well. It works so well. The 80s kind of synth and stuff, little places, you know.
I thought their missions were better up until 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Like they got grander. Like 5 missions are amazing, right? Or like whatever. These big heists, getting a submarine and heist from a cargo ship, stuff like that. But which one was it? San Andreas had great missions. I mean, I loved the missions in San Andreas.
Was that the first one you can get in a helicopter?
Yeah, I think so.
I think because that was my
the one
favorite.
Where you're CJ, down in LA.
It's a lot. It's a lot of like hoods, neighborhood turf wars and stuff, right? Yeah. And Vice City
wasn't bad too because I like the idea of like you know this just like coke running. You know,
I've never played that one.
That one was good. That was the first one with motorcycles and stuff.
Yeah, that was with Gay Tony, right?
Yeah. No, the Ballad of Gay Tony came from.
Oh, that's a different game. Huh?
Yeah, or no, you're right. He was originally in Vice City, and then they did
That's not who you play, though?
No.
Okay.
No. The Ballad of Gay Tony was great. That was like a expansion for 5.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Hey, I was about to say, that's ahead of its time. It's like a game where you have to be gay. You know?
Yeah, so Rockstar kills it. They're not, they don't have developer or publishers breathing down their neck, and they can take all that time. And the only thing they did, from what I'm saying,
they've been in the Grand Theft Auto world since they didn't do the first one, but it was immediately after the first one they really saw potential in that style of game.
Yeah,
and they came out with the second one.
Yeah, and the top down.
Yeah, and those are still fun. I bet you can find them online. Those are fun games to play.
Yeah,
you know,
those are very fun.
But you know, they stuck with it, and like I said, they probably only—I don't know how—they had Bully. You remember that one? Is that what I think was the name of it?
Yeah, I never played it, but highly rated.
Yeah. And then it was just like GTA, except you're a kid. You don't get guns or anything. Maybe a BB gun or whatever.
Yeah, slingshot
but,
stuff.
Yeah, very few titles over the years, but still, the ones that they do are fantastic.
All their IPs. So you got Grand Theft Auto, then you have the Red Dead stuff, because they did Red Dead Revolver first. Yep. I bought that.
Yeah, the very first one.
Yeah, that was such a good game, and it was completely different on the second one, but still great. And then Red Dead Redemption 2, so three in the series. Then you have Bully, that was a one-off. Grand Theft Auto, were that many games in. I don't even know how many at this point because of all the spin-offs and stuff. And then, and the best part, the only thing I think that they can be, that people can say about them is like, they're mini transactions, you know. People don't like that, or the micro transactions or whatever, and they're not so micro with Rockstar. You're paying a lot of money for those shark cards.
Absolutely. It seems like that's just a staple in everything nowadays. I'm playing a game it's Metal Gear Solid 5.
Mm.
Kojima, I guess, is the developer.
Hideo,
so it's
Kojima.
Yeah. So they've been doing it from the very beginning, I think, even to the 80s. You know, they had the ones for Super Nintendo and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm playing it now, and it's just like every which way you turn, it's like, you want to buy some MB. I don't even know what it stands for, but it, like, you want to buy some coins, and you can go. I'm looking, and it's like for like 1,000 coins, it's like $60 or something. I'm like, 1,000 coins gets you like nothing. Like you can just speed up development times, just frustrating. They put these little self-limiting factors into games to make you want to go buy it. It's like just so many different weapons in this game, and they're expensive to develop. You have to get you have to build up a team of researchers to be able to get you so you can get the gun. You have to get a bunch of money, other little like medals and things together, and then even let's say you have everything. I've got one gun now that says it's going to take six days before I can play it, and that's not six
that's
days
in game.
That's in six game. Days in game.
Holy crap.
So like I would literally have to leave the game going for 6 days before I can use this thing, or I think it said like 1200 points, so 60 something bucks.
Wow.
That's it. Just go ahead and use this gun that I don't know anything about.
That's
it could
definitely
be just terrible.
That's definitely pay to play right there.
Oh yeah.
No doubt, you know. Another one that I can think of now, this game is free, so I understand that they want to try to get some money from you one way or another, but World of Warships, play that
gosh.
One.
Yeah.
I read that if you were to try to speed up, get everything that's in the game, because it's all like money or you have to grind for it, but if you were to just go ahead and take write out a blank check, it would be over $20,000 to get everything.
Yeah. Phew. It was the same one with World of Tanks. It's the same developer.
I remember World
stuff.
Of Tanks. Yep.
Great game.
Yeah,
really,
loved
really
it.
Good.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to go
free
to that,
too.
It was free too. Yep. But you want to go to that next level or get the tiger or something like that, you're paying.
And you didn't. And there was certain. You'd like. You only had so many slots to pick a tank.
Yes.
You know. So you pretty much got the two freebies. And then you got one that you earned.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And it was never really great.
No. And the problem is when you try to grind, you're like, all right, I'm not going to spend any money. I'm just going to grind through it. You never get that feeling of accomplishment.
Right.
You're just like, you're getting like 1 point here, 1 point there, 1 point there, extra. You never have this
for
one.
For $19.99, I could have 100 more points.
Yeah, definitely. Whereas, if you're ready to spend $100, then you can get this amazing ship or an amazing tank that you feel like you got some progression on.
Exactly.
And otherwise, grinding, you're never going to feel like you're getting anywhere.
Yeah. And all the games that focus on those types of things, they at least have one like welcome package that pulls you in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like
yeah.
you might start at being like, I'm not going to spend any money, but then you see it's like for $20, you get like a lot of things that you normally wouldn't get for $20 just this one time.
Exactly.
And you've put your credit card info in to get that, and now it's right there on
it's
file.
Easy.
So you're just like, ah, screw it.
Might
like,
as well.
Buy it.
Yeah.
Buy it more.
I need
buy
the
more.
Extra cannon for this tank.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you one of the first games that really started, and I watched this happen in real time, that started this type of thing. Now, it's not the first, but FIFA. a lot of people point fingers at FIFA for introducing the great game format that they did with Ultimate Teams.
Yeah.
So the way Ultimate Teams worked was you won packs of players.
Yep.
Or bought packs of players. And you would open the packs and hope you get good, solid
Madden
players.
Followed up on that.
Yes, they did.
Madden banked on that,
dude. Crazy on it.
Yeah. Hey, there was a season that myself and my boys went through some packs to play some Madden.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I did it too. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even really like the game that much. I just liked the idea of building a team and pulling good players. And I watched somebody spend thousands over the course of just buying tons and tons of packs and opening up players and then you build the teams and not, I mean, at the very least, the actual team builder was pretty cool.
It was fun.
Like worked on chemistry, where they were from, who they played for, and kind of, you couldn't just throw like Messi, Ronaldo, like all the top players into a team. It wouldn't actually work that well. You had to make sure there was like chemistry, like if two guys were actually from Argentina, or they played on the same team together at one point, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Okay.
But a lot of people pointed that and being like, that was one of the first times where like people were just going crazy with their microtransactions. GTA too.
Yeah, with Madden for sure. They played on, especially with the packs, the opening of the packs, they played on us that opened old football cards.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it showed the pack being open just as if you was opening it right there, and then the packs would slide out and you go through each card.
Yeah,
it was cool.
And they definitely stack it so the first one that you open is good.
Yep, it's cool. It's like,
oh, now I need 20 more of these.
Exactly. And then you get, aren't that good. You get 19 common cards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the microtransactions are going crazy. The early access bait and switches are going crazy. It's like, to be a gamer now, you got to really watch out.
Yeah.
Don't get freaking excited. Stop getting hyped for a game like Starfield. When you drop Starfield, release $69.99. Mm-hmm. That is, you know,
people bought it.
Well, and a ton of people bought it.
It also came out for free.
Yeah,
because now that Bethesda is owned by Microsoft, it came out for free on
Game Pass.
Yeah. But people still were paying $70 to get it 5 days or 6 days early.
Yeah,
wow.
And then some people with the $200 for the collector's edition that came with like that watch.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And the game stunk.
The watch was garbage.
Not even I think it was. And not even that the game is bad per se. It's still probably a good game, but you know, it's a 6 out of 10 game.
Yeah.
Which is why are you hyped about a 6 out of 10 game?
And Microsoft did it right. But being that they own Bethesda and they have the ability to release it right there, because I went ahead and got on Game Pass for a few months just to try it out.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Did you play any?
Yeah, I played it a little while.
Starfield?
Not a big fan.
I played it for maybe an hour and I was like, this game is
when I finally made it to space, I was like, sweet. And then it was just like, what's that one space game that we love?
No Man's Sky?
No.
Or
older than that, I think.
Space game.
Where you're flying around in space in a ship and you go to different planets.
Damn, I don't know.
We just talked about it recently.
Recently?
We were talking about some of our favorite games.
Not No Man's Sky.
Not that one. It's like
Star Citizen.
No.
There's Elite Dangerous.
Anyway.
Flying around.
It was just like that in flying towards the planet. Mm-hmm. I was thinking I'm going to fly up to a planet. No, you click on the planet and then you just do a cutscene.
Yeah.
I was like, come on. Yeah. I want to fly to the planet.
For sure.
But for a little ways anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah. Get into its atmosphere, then click scene or something. Yeah.
You at least do that.
I want to get in there. You know, I want to do some flying for a little while.
You can't really pick where you land. You pick like an area.
You pick a dot.
And then you land 2 miles away from your destiny. Now you walk
exactly
across nothing, you know.
Yep.
So screw that game, and then even Cyberpunk, which I'm playing right now. It is incredible next gen experience, one of the craziest things. But released as a complete dud, you know.
With mass hype.
Great.
Oh yeah.
Spaceship game.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Great game.
But kind of you click on the planet and you go.
Oh sure.
You
know, yeah,
similar. I was thinking this newer planet game, I'd get to fly.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Anyway, maybe if I play longer and get more cutscenes, I'll get to fly somewhere.
Nope. Nope. Never happens. That's why that.
Not even 24 hours into the game.
That Star Citizen game is absolutely crazy. Now, I can barely play it even on my system. It's just, it's a slog. But the idea that there's no cutscenes in the game at all. So you have these mega metropolis cities that are huge, like massive. There's one world, the whole thing is a city, and there is no cutscene. It is rendered whether you're a galaxy away.
Load in, like, kind of like Rockstar did? Does it load
little,
in
there's
portions?
There's some pop in. Okay. There's definitely That's some cool. pop in. But the fact that you can go from one hyper jump, and there's no actual cutscene, there's no actually break.
That's cool.
It's all real time.
That's cool.
Hyper jump to that, fly down into the atmosphere, fly through the city, find a landing pad.
Nice. See, that's what I want to do.
And then walk around. That's crazy.
That's what they need to. They need to add that to
Star Citizen. Or Starfield. No Man's Sky is really cool. It does a similar thing, but No Man's Sky doesn't really have the big cities or anything like sprawling metropolises. It's all more like big bases in space, which is also amazing. Like when you're flying up to a space station in that game, it's incredible.
Yeah,
I can't
see the space
seem
to battles. Get into it. There'll be parts where you're just flying through space, and all of a sudden you just see like a whole fleet of ships warp in right in front of you, and then another fleet comes in on the other side, and they're like battling it out amongst one another.
Halo did good with their warships, with their flights.
Yeah. Oh,
their
flighting. Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of my dreams. Exactly.
And this is, I may build this one day and then never build anything else out of Lego, but I have some plans. I have like little pieces that I've worked on putting together. One day I will build a Covenant a dreadnought or one of those big
glasses.
Cruisers, the planet glassers. Build that thing out of Lego.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now you got to build like the Pillar of Autumn to go against it too.
Yeah, though. I know. Somebody built one out of Lego. This guy, Mark Kelso, is an amazing builder. I think the thing was like 8 feet long or something. Dang. Like he tried to do it to minifig scale. Maybe it was longer than that, but it was gigantic, beautifully detailed and stuff.
That's crazy. So yeah, I'm highly recommending Cyberpunk if you have the means to play it, you know, either a PC or something. But I'm playing on the PC. Let me set the scene. The light is off. I got my big computer screen that's, you know, high refresh rate, as vibrant and colorful as you like it, and it's right there in my, you know, and it is just the most incredible next gen experience yet. I'm not saying like the best game I've ever played, but the coolest game I've ever played. The aesthetics and the world building and all that, and then the cutscenes and stuff. Like I'm often, it's a good game when you're often getting lost, like just watching it.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing I like is challenging. It's game does not hold your hand, and I started on a hard difficulty.
Nice.
Not the hardest, the second hardest, and it doesn't explain a lot of its mechanics and stuff, which I like. Find it out yourself, you know. And while there's like lots of, you know, quest markers, like it's kind of pointing you in the way, it doesn't, there's like, even just like down to the hacking systems and stuff, it's a little more complicated off the bat than you would think. And I was like, there was a few times where I'm like, wait, what am I supposed to do? I listen intently and I'm still confused.
Yeah.
Which
nice.
That's good. It's very challenging. It's not a
hard to find a game that doesn't hold. It's not going to hold the more hand holding, the younger the person can be who plays it. You know, and it's not just immediately frustrated by it.
But yeah.
I've kind of ruined my video game playing for this week. I mentioned a moment ago, I've been playing that Metal Gear Solid 5. It was a great game. I've never beat it. I've been playing it since it came out and just never beat it, because it was like, for the longest time, I didn't have the console for it, and my buddy did, and he would just like lend it to me on a weekend when he was away, but I wouldn't save anything because I didn't want to save over his file. So I finally did buy it not too long ago, because again, I'd seen it on Game Pass and I was like really starting to get into it. Then they took it off Game Pass.
Yeah, yeah.
And then here recently I was like, I'm just buy that thing. But
full price.
It was like $10. It was $9.99 or something. Yeah. But in any case, I bring that all up because Saturday night you came out and hung out.
Mm-hmm.
I played that game for a little bit.
Yeah.
After you left, Tyler, and I was like, as I was going to bed, I was like, man, I feel like something's coming on. And sure enough, Sunday morning I wake up, got a fever.
Yeah.
Still feel a little like crap and got to keep turning this microwave not to cough into it. But the other night I played that game. I had a fever. we earlier that night we had watched Home Alone 2. I'd never seen that one. Quite a great movie, by the way.
Feverish.
Feverish so movies. I love them.
So yeah, I feverishly watch Home Alone 2, feverishly play Metal Gear Solid 5. And then, which all takes place in Afghanistan. Yeah. I did not know. Fortunately, I did not ruin that. But
it's usually a hot shot.
Yeah.
Oh. Sick
that
balls.
Night, I dreamt all night.
All right. Yeah. I got to stop interrupting. You got to get through this.
Yeah. I dreamt all night that Joe Pesci had a patch and a prosthetic hand. And then he was walking around Afghanistan tranquilizing or shooting Russians with tranquilizer darts and then strapping balloons to him. So they could be added to your home base.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, that's a big part. That's what I do in that game is I just strap these balloons to everybody and they get, then they're on your side. They get picked up by a plane, which I read the other day is actually a real thing. I didn't know that it was the Fulton recovery system. So it was this like unit. I think they finally retired it, but developed in the 50s, used it successfully a bunch of times. To like extract people behind enemy lines and or from like just situations where you couldn't land a plane or a helicopter, and it's this big balloon, self-inflating balloon that you strap to you, and then like a plane with like a little V-hook flies overhead and picks you and yanks you up and then carries you back home.
That's
you know?
Crazy.
Said only one That's fatality crazy. Of all the times that it's been used, only one fatality, and that wasn't from the shock or anything. It was one of the bolts holding the. Like the hook on the plane in place, it came loose, and so the guy just slipped off of it. And he died.
Yeah, yeah. In the game, of course, you like knock out a guy. He just goes, and this big balloon comes out, just carries him up into the sky, and then they join your base.
Nice. Yeah. You like put him in a brig for a while, brainwash him or something.
Yeah. And then you can recruit him to do missions and stuff.
Yeah,
right? Like go and get stuff for you.
It's kind of funny because sometimes, like, if you're not careful, and another enemy soldier sees it, they're like HQ. I just saw one of our guys hanging from a balloon. I have no idea what that means, but I think we have an intruder.
One of the best things about Metal Gear Solid is like you're tapped into all of their frequencies so you get to hear what they're doing. Like as you're going through, it's like you know somebody's killing us. Somebody is just on a ramp killing us. You know, like. I love that.
And some of the other ones, you could like blow up food warehouses, you know, in the area that you were working in. Mm-hmm. And then the whole time you could hear them just like walking around their stomachs growling, like, I'm so hungry. Because they're hungry, they weren't paying as good attention to what was going on.
Yeah,
so you
could
sneak by them a little better. It's pretty fun.
One of those franchises that didn't get all completely ruined by like the Japanese animator.
Like Hideo Kojima is a strange feller.
It's a strange company that they do and all that. Yeah. That's Square Enix.
Yeah, I think so.
And just forever, like, people are all obsessed about that Final Fantasy. Yeah. People obsessed about all those games. I can't do it. It's just too long, too many cutscenes, too many things, and not interactive unless they're like weird quick time events or something. At least in Cyberpunk, every cutscene I've ever seen is enthralling. Like, you might not have complete control over or whatever, but what's going on is insanely interesting and well voice acted. You watch like these Japanese game cutscene, it's like, like, you know, and like, and very soft and just like, and zoom in on one
nothing
face, zoom
happens.
In on it, and nothing's happening. It's too much talking. And then, at least it's Cyberpunk, man. Like, something always is happening in the cutscenes, you know? So, update you on that going into the next week. It's consumed. I mean, I've only put 4 hours into the game, but every waking moment that I've been able to play, I'm playing.
All right.
You know? Like, you know, I had game last night that I had to go into, got home at like 8:45, and I didn't even acknowledge anything in the house. Miles was asleep. I just walked right through into the back bedroom, closed it, it booted up, and played for like 40
minutes. Yeah. Your life to be picking a new like open world game to play is when you have a one-year-old in the house.
Yeah. And then tonight I will be playing video games again, a different kind. Brought it to this podcast a couple times that I play Magic. And the digital version of the Magic game that I play, which I very much enjoy, is holding a tournament of sorts this weekend. It's not bracketed. It's not like you have to win a few different brackets. You just basically you enter this thing. It's $30. And then if you get 6 wins inside of it, just against anybody, just 6 wins with or 2 losses, you're out.
Right.
So if you get 6 wins, you win a pretty dope prize that's worth like $250.
That's cool.
In physical.
Yeah.
Like sent to your house.
That's cool.
So
sounds fun.
I'm going to get really angry. I'm only gonna enter it once.
You gonna stream it so we can watch it?
I don't know. Maybe. I guess I could, but streaming I might get really angry. Like I get really angry at that game when I lose.
We want to see Mad Tyler.
Yeah, it's not like DayZ when I was streaming that and I'd get killed and I'd be like, oh well, I'll start a new guy.
Start another guy.
On this one, it's like I've literally just taken $30 and just lit it on fire. Yeah. Might as well have been, you know.
I don't know if can you get more streams that way? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, just burning $30? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
There's a dollar at a time. Yeah. Cut them up into pieces, get them all in pennies, and see if you can smelt them down into one big penny.
Well,
you can get a lot of hits online, apparently, for doing really, really stupid things that are just wasteful.
I did that today.
Yeah?
I did it on the show today, man. Tuesday was National Trick Shot Day.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so we didn't get to celebrate then, but today I did a trick shot, and every one I made, I bounced it off the glass, off the table, into the cup.
Yeah,
and every one I made, I gave away a prize.
Nice. All right. Did you make some?
Yeah.
Did you give some prizes
I made
away?
15.
Nice. Right on. Okay.
Sweet. Pong balls in a little cup. So yeah, pretty cool. I got pretty good at it.
Yeah. Did you come in and like practice?
No. I just said, here's the start of it. They had to watch on Facebook. Or YouTube. We had like quite a few people watching on YouTube today because of it. We're like, you have to watch on Facebook or YouTube or Twitch if you want to win. As soon as you see me hit it in, call in and win. And we had 15 winners.
Man, nice. Awesome.
That was fun. Nice. But yeah, just talking about doing stupid stuff to get clicks. That's what that was. Sure.
I saw a video recently that was just like, I'm not watching videos on Facebook. I'm not watching Facebook videos anymore. It was one where there's some kid, 16, 17 year old or whatever. His daddy bought him. It was like 70s model, pristine, jacked up Ford pickup, all the stuff all over it, just immaculate condition and huge tires and probably like an 8-inch lift. I mean, it's kind of truck that would go like roll through an auction for 6 figures easy nowadays. Mm-hmm. And you know, daddy got some money, and what does he do? He does something to it or whatever, and he is like, buddy, like films his dad chewing him out. He's like, I got you that truck, you know, you need to take better care of it. Maybe the whole thing was set up, but then it shows him just driving through fence posts, and then he crashes it into a tree, and then he takes a bulldozer and smashes the rest of it up against the tree until it looked like it went through one of those like in a wrecker yard where they crunch the trucks up into a block, you know. That's pretty much all that was left afterwards. And it's just sickening, man. And then the comments were just like, dude, that was awesome. You know, and down at the bottom were a couple I know you can't downvote on Facebook, but there was the comments that were like, this is shitty, why in the world would you do something like this? I'm like, there's a million people that would love to have this truck,
right?
You know, and those are all down at the bottom covered up by just like, that's awesome, man, I'd love to do that. And just like, damn it. Oh, I love that truck.
Yeah. There's so many just expensive, just wasteful, you know. And then you see the ones that I always see are like the expensive fails.
Yeah.
Where a kid like runs his dad's truck into a lake.
Or his dad's Lamborghini like into the car.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you
there's so many of that, the Lamborghini that just peels out at the red stoplight and just whoop and just.
Had it for 2 hours.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess what's one thing nicer than having enough money to buy a Lamborghini is having enough money to just wantonly destroy it however you like. Just take a sledgehammer to it. Like, that's all right. I'll get another one.
Yeah. That's craziness. That's level a of money. Fortune that is just wasteful with it. Yeah. And it's a good way to get hits for sure.
Yeah.
You watch presidential debates the other night there, Jay?
I did not.
I didn't.
No, sir.
No. I didn't.
Yeah. How about you?
No, me.
I meant to watch the 3-minute recap.
Yeah, from what I understand, pretty good chance this is the last one before the primary starts. Okay. So there's that. That's good.
I saw Nikki Haley's face all over it. So did she say something?
Yeah, she's still. No. I think she seemed to do all right.
Okay.
And Vivek just came across as just kind of a I'll just take take Christie's words. What did he call him? He said just a snot-nosed blowhard or something like that. You know,
ChatGPT.
So, something like that. You know, and I from what I understand, like I said, I haven't seen any of it. I've just heard some talk about it. Is that Vivek tried to do his little swarmy little attacks on her, and she was just like at one point calling her a fascist and stuff like that, and the moderator turned to her and like, would you like to respond to that? And she was like, look, I don't have time to respond to anything like that. I kind of want to be up here talking about the issues. And I'm like, hell yeah, that's how you do it. That is how you do it right there, you know? And even Christie at one point, I guess, defended her. I was reading an article today that was saying that that Christie totally was defending her on stage. You know, he's still attacking. He's still trying to run for president, I guess. But it's just all very stupid. I mean, there's no point watching or even a recap of it unless you're just really bored, I guess. It's just who's running for second place.
Chris Christie has kind of disappointed me a little bit.
Well, it's not entirely his fault. He is the big anti-Trump guy on the running as a Republican this year. He's like been training for months to fight Trump, and Trump won't show up for the fights.
Yeah,
which I think is brilliant on Trump's behalf. Like, why put yourself up there with these folks when you know that you've got the nomination cinched already?
Yeah.
Why would you put your viewers, you know, maybe not twice, at least half as many viewers, which is pretty big for
a single person
for a rally as opposed to a presidential debate. So
crazy.
Yep.
Oh. Sorry. And that's how he feels about that topic. No.
Oh no, I wish there was more to say. I don't know. Anything else go on in this past week? I'm trying to think. There was something, but I got
Person of the Year was a Time Magazine Person of the Year.
Yeah, Taylor Swift, right?
Tay-Tay.
No. So there's that. I saw somebody
if I could name a single one of her songs.
Nope, me either. Yeah. But
Trouble. I just know that.
Oh,
it was. We used it in an audio piece.
Yeah. Okay.
Trouble.
I saw somebody post something like, "Time's Person of the Year is a single person alone with no kids and only a cat," and or something like that. I don't remember. Dang. And like people flamed him, like went through his profiles and stuff. And we're like, "What are you doing?"
I thought she was with one old boy.
Yeah. But of course, Kelsey. She's still like. You know,
yeah,
technically just alone, like home, like no kids, no family. Type
she's
thing.
Barren. Yeah.
She's barren.
That's what I'm saying.
It's old spinster.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's what it is, man. It's so many people who just like I do it too. Okay. But I can sit there and admit I'm nothing as well. You know, like people who are what am I trying to say here? Even like Biden, if you're just like, we've roasted Biden, but if you're sitting there, he's such an idiot, man. Fuck Biden. And it's like, the guy's accomplished more in your life than in his life than you ever will, you know? Yeah, and it's like, what have
president.
You done? Yeah. Yeah. President's a pretty big one, or just anything, you know?
Yeah.
Even if you shit on Nicolas Cage, you also have to, like, you know?
Yeah.
Except that he'll do
done
more
way more movies way more money than you'll ever make.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. But he's still a shitty actor.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that one time when Matt Damon was like, what did he say? Matt Damon said in reference to the Me Too stuff, he's like, there's a difference between patting somebody on the butt and rape. You know,
touché.
Which is a fair point, yeah. You know, there's a difference. Let's not all lump them all together. Right. But, you know, people were like, you know, stupid Matt Damon needs to shut up, you know, or like stuff like, yeah, Matt Damon is just a person who needs to go away. He's never done. And the guy's like one of the most charitable guys in Hollywood and stuff. And it's like, what have you done?
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay. So he said something that you don't agree with, but he's still.
Yeah, such your smug done. Little Twitter comment. Yeah.
My favorite are the ones you should have spent that money on blank.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that they did, you bought a new house, you should have spent that money on kids in the Sahara that ain't eating lizards for life. You know what I mean? Or whatever. You know,
yeah.
It's like, what have you donated? Yeah. Even, okay, let's say you make one thousandth that person that you're talking to makes or spent that in your life. Mm-hmm. How much of that have you donated?
Yeah.
10%? 100%? 15%?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, millions of dollars worth of a house. In a donation, that's still a pretty large donation.
Yeah.
To anything. So
and people know when you don't donate at all as a rich person. Like, they knew, people probably comb through people's shit just to try and catch them not donating a lot. You know, like, if you're rich, you have to donate.
Yeah.
That's just the point of it.
Or the government gets a lot.
Yeah.
That's true, too. I mean, you know, the more money you make, the more you want to donate, because the government's going to get some of that if you don't.
Yeah. Depending, you know, like, you know, no, I mean, that's very true. I was almost thinking, like, how much are the rich taxed even?
Oh, dude. You can find, if the more you make, the more tax havens you can find,
right,
that will keep you from having to take pay taxes, even at all in some cases.
Yeah, yeah. But then, like, yeah, I mean, people will hunt out all of your charity. It's like, a paper gets slid across the desk to you for you to sign, and it's like a chunk of your stuff has to go to donations or else,
you know,
something.
I mean,
what if you were like, just like, I don't want to.
Yeah, even own a small business in small town USA.
Yeah.
You have 13 people come by every month asking for a donation for their
You get nickel and dimed as a small business in a small town.
For sure.
Because every booster club, every softball team, every church group, they're all coming by trying to get something.
Would you have an issue with a movie star who had, like, you know, $500 million who, like, doesn't donate at all?
Yeah, doesn't donate at all.
Like, at all.
Period. I mean, that's their prerogative.
Right, right.
As long as they're paying taxes.
Still kind of, still kind of crappy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But here, I'll say this is how I feel about big timers versus small timers. We had a guy come in the other day, a little while back, that had merch, right? He was he was backed by a record label. The record label bought all the merch. I said, bro, give me all the merch you can, right? Guy comes in that's from here, who's going to Nashville. He's trying to make his way. He brings some merch. And by the way, the record label is trying to be very stingy on how much merch they gave us, by the way. He brings merch. He tries to give us all the merch he can give us for free.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, there's no way I'm going to take your koozies that you paid $5 each on or whatever for free, because you're an up and coming. I said, if you was Jason Aldean, I'm going to take all of that merch. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? And you better give me as much as I need. But so I mean, I don't know. I don't remember where I started, why I even started with that. But small town.
See, it's like, I mean, personally, okay, I feel like I would donate if I had $500 million, but this is also America. You can't be compelled to donate your money.
Right.
Like, what if you think it doesn't help? What if you're the type that's like, why aren't you donating to Africa? And it's like, I don't think it helps that much.
Yeah.
I want my donations going to, like, some warlord or something. Like,
right? Hey,
not
there
saying
you go.
That happens.
It's
but
possible.
Like, yeah. Like, what if you
believe in Malthusian economics? Say we need less people. So, you know, no, I'm not going to help anybody.
Yeah. This is America. You're allowed to. Do you get canceled or, like, anything over that? I mean, it's just like, no, I don't donate. I don't think it helps anybody.
I love it.
All right. Or maybe you're just an asshole, super Scrooge, being like, oh, this dying, starving kid ain't my problem, dude. I'm keeping mines.
A lot of it I find it's a little disingenuous. It's kind of like you said, like one of y'all was saying, is that a manager or financial advisor or somebody is just going to be like, all right, you need to do this.
Yeah.
Contribute this much to just whatever. Here's a list. You know, if you want to go through it, fine.
It's
not
image.
It's image based. Yeah.
But the money spends.
It's true. The money spends, but you also know, like, a lot of charities are terrible.
Yes.
I mean, they administrative costs soak up so much of it. Yep. I mean, as much as half of it. Half of, there's some, and I don't, given certain things right now, I don't want to single out one particular entity, but I remember going through a list of the worst, some of the worst charities in the world, as far as how much of your money that you donate to them actually goes to the problem they're trying to address.
And right.
There's many where less than 50 cents is going to the actual problem.
For every dollar.
There should be zero bonuses for anybody that works at a charity.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Especially if it's one person getting a very large bonus.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You know,
wasn't UNICEF up to some...
Yeah, like UNICEF is not the greatest.
Well, Red Cross for a while, until they started specifying, because now Red Cross will say these funds go here.
Yeah,
but
97 cents.
Yeah, you know,
there's some that are much better than others, you know. But even though, I mean, so much donation money. I mean, you might as well have just burnt it. Like I think going back, I've donated to political campaigns before that. didn't make it through the primaries. And I think like Jeb Bush, I mean, what, you know, and that was the VAT, obviously that was all like donations and right, stuff. Yeah. I mean, sure he had to put some of his own money in there, but the vast majority of that was donations. You might as well, it would have been better spent to like, to burn in people's houses to keep them warm over the winter.
Yeah.
It would have been a more effective way to use that money.
Like old ladies sending their $6 to Trump and stuff. It's like,
just
get you a hat, you
know? Signing their social security checks over.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. What if there was a 500 billionaire or a 500 millionaire, right? Who didn't donate at all, but for his local place, he would do like a chili fundraiser every month or something to raise money for like a family with cancer. Like
that may be costs. Even better. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Directly, helping people.
I was going to say a 500 millionaire that donates regularly to a local cupboard, like the Chalice cupboard or something like that. That's good enough. You know for a fact every week people are being helped.
Or if you did it like Don Corleone style, where you just sat there and people just lined up outside and they're just like, Don, I need this. Yeah, I need that, you know.
One potato. One canned green bean. Yeah.
I know it's not the day of Don's my daughter's wedding, but
still,
you can stand out front and I give you. Yeah. If somebody's my roof needs repair to my house and I just don't have the money.
But I'm going to take you anyway. But I'm going to need to call you at some point for something.
Yeah.
You know, you might get that knock on the door in the middle of the night. You better answer that.
But it's certainly true. You want to help people start in your own community.
Yeah.
You know, and then it grows from there.
Yeah.
You know?
Fundraiser for the people of Bel Air.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. The poor folks of Bel Air.
Yeah.
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 Uncle Phil.
Nobody's from Bel Air, though.
No, yeah.
Born and raised.
Yeah.
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 In the hills.
But I wouldn't, you know, honestly, like, I could imagine being like, as a bit of an asshole, not ever donating or anything, but I'm not going to, like, care if there's some super rich guy never donating anything. But it doesn't happen. Everybody does.
That's true.
You know,
I guess it's
just expected of you that if you have $500 million, you need to donate, you know, a few million a year or something.
Like Colin Kaepernick, when he was taking the knee, somebody was eventually like, you know, there's more you could do besides just like taking a knee at football games. You could like donate money to youth organizations and stuff. Like, all right, okay.
I didn't have a problem with it. That was a sensible protest.
No, I didn't have a problem with it. Yeah, to get kicked out of the NFL and all that.
No,
I think that was, it was definitely crazy. But it was just one of those, you know, sometimes you got to put your money where your mouth is sometimes.
For sure. Know? For sure. Yeah. How much do you make in the NFL? They're not top paid like
Terry Crews said he made he would have made more. The amount of time he spent training and playing and traveling and all that, he would have made more money working at McDonald's, you know. But he admits he was not a very good player. That's why it was on that Mark Maron podcast where asked him, he's like, oh, you played for a number of different teams, that must have meant you were pretty good. And he's like, no, I meant I was terrible. They kept just trading me off to get rid of me. He said he was some weeks he averaged like $150 a week.
Today the current NFL minimum salary is $750,000.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's the amount specific to NFL rookies in their first season.
My goodness. Be like probably
on the bench, right?
Yeah, the bench ones.
Because the center on the Browns or something, and you're making $750,000 a year. Nobody knows your name.
The starting center of the Browns probably making $2.5
million.
But no, those are the guys, like you said, the practice guys, the guys that are still trying to make the team. Yeah. The ones that are, if you, like, let's say you're the first round draft pick, it's like a $5 million or 10 million. It's a big, you know, because so it's minimum how high you are.
Can you look up the minimum NBA? Is it comparable? I'm thinking. Like, does it, because I feel like NBA athletes are some of the best paid, right?
Did it ever come out how much the, what was it? Who got a hold of, was it the Jets that got a hold of Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember now.
Least amount a rookie can make in the NBA is $953,000.
Not that much difference when you're talking about that much, you know, $200,000. That's not that much difference.
If you've been in the NBA for 10 years, you consider it a veteran, and your minimum amount is $2.72 million.
So pretty much, if you know, even if you're losing all the time, you're getting that.
Yeah.
I feel like apart from soccer players, I think those are the highest paid guys, right? Out of all the sports.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Messi got, it was like a 2 billion-dollar contract to play for Miami.
Maybe at least at the top. That's probably like top end. There's nobody at the top end of these sports that makes as much as soccer players.
Yeah, yeah, at the top end, certainly. Yeah, I was looking at
the small end.
I was trying to see, because Aaron Rodgers going to from the Packers to the Jets, that was a pretty big deal. I don't know if a figure has been released or whatever, but in any case, he made like his first... I think it was the second play with the Jets on their opening game of the season. He like twists his ACL or something. I don't know what he did. He effed himself up real bad. I don't know if he's even been able to play all season.
Oh my god! Says here, Major League Soccer minimum salary is for the first 24 players on each team's roster is $85,000.
Yeah,
and the reserve is $65,000.
Yeah. That's for like the low, like that's rookie. Yeah.
You know, you're taking somebody out of like the slums of Buenos Aires or Mumbai or something, you know, that $65,000, that's a lot of money.
But at the top is Ronaldo or Messi the most, I think one of those guys is the most paid athlete of all time. So when you get to the very like top 1% of Messi soccer,
broke,
then you're,
his might have broke a record,
yeah,
I think.
And, yeah.
$720,000. For Major League Baseball.
That's the minimum for a rookie? That's really good.
Yeah.
I thought baseball would be a little lower.
Really?
You know? And again, high at the top end.
Yeah, so the highest at the top
end. The highest at the top end. Yeah.
Yeah. For American or in general? For all? For everyone?
Major League Baseball is. Yeah. There's Canadian Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And then, what was the other one you wanted me to look up?
Like, who's the highest paid athlete? And I feel like that's going to be a soccer player. Like, more than likely Messi. But NBA.
He's a billionaire.
Oh, sure. And that's with, like, Nike deals and all that? Like, or is that straight just funds from the NBA?
In 2023, it was Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
With, doesn't say. But right behind him was Lionel Messi at number two. Number three was Kylian Mbappe, was also soccer.
Yeah.
And then number four was LeBron James.
Dang. So, yeah, I feel like at the very top end, the very 1% of all athletes, it's either NBA or soccer who's making an enormous amount of money. And then, of course, you have your Tom Brady's and stuff that was at the top end. He was making a shit ton of money. But still, I don't think as much as the top paid NBA guy. You know. And then, of course, Michael Jordan, the highest paid dude ever, probably.
So LeBron James was number four in 23. Mm-hmm. You know who number five was?
Who?
Canelo Alvarez?
Yeah, boxers are up there for sure.
And then six and seven was golf. We had Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson.
Forget about golf. They get paid like crazy.
Stephen Curry, number eight, basketball.
Yeah.
Roger Federer comes in number nine for tennis.
Roger Federer, tennis?
Kevin Durant, basketball again.
He's been forever, too, and he's still so good.
Yep. See what the 22 list is. Lionel Messi, number two was LeBron James. Number three was Cristiano Ronaldo.
It's not giving you figures, is it?
No, not on this one. See, Neymar.
Yeah, Neymar is incredible in
soccer. He was number four.
Yeah.
Curry, Durant, Roger Federer again, Canelo Alvarez again, Tom Brady, number nine.
Yeah. What about Tyson Fury? I figured he'd be making the most, but he doesn't fight as often as Canelo.
Oh, I bet you can guess who number one was in 2021.
I don't. Who?
Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah. Fighting Dustin Poirier twice.
Yeah.
For probably like 10 mil a fight.
Probably.
You know? Or more?
Messi behind that. Ronaldo. Dak Prescott comes in at number four that year. Okay. Oh, he got his big football extension.
Right.
Year, probably. LeBron James, Neymar, Federer, Brady, Durant. So lots.
And I'm definitely not one of those guys who's like, these guys should be paid less or anything.
No, I mean,
make as much as
it's entertainment.
Can, man. Yeah. And it's the last part of society that is still merit-based.
Right.
LeBron James is the highest paid athlete that year, he most likely deserved to be that.
Or more right? So, right close to it. You're right.
Or like right close to it.
Right.
Yeah. He's probably getting, at this age, he's probably getting to hand a little like, you know, legend credit or whatever.
Yeah, but you get shoe deals, you get every kind.
Yeah. And then Messi. I mean, he's like one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time, you know?
And that Ronaldo, he's probably the prettiest of all time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This shit wasn't. The genetics were handed to him.
Yeah.
The soccer playing skills were not.
Right,
he had to work on that shit.
Yeah. But you're right. Soccer being the largest or the most popular sport around the world.
And the most seedy money tied up into it, I think. FIFA.
Oh, yeah, like, definitely.
You know,
I've heard about that.
Yeah. Skates in between controversies.
Yeah.
And what is the organizational structure of FIFA? I remember is it actually owned by anybody, or is it more of a cooperative kind of? I almost feel like it's more of a cooperative setup. Yeah. They still have a board, president, all that stuff, right? And I don't know. It's not like we know. I mean, NFL has an owner, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how FIFA is set up as far as that goes.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean,
well, I'll have to ask somebody else, I guess. Yeah, since you guys can't enlighten me on that matter.
Well, that's, I mean, anything else on that? I think that might be it today. We got over an hour.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Any adventures recently for you, Jay, or coming up?
No, yeah, Rachel, she graduates college, so I'm going to see her graduate Saturday, tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, so that's awesome.
Graduating college.
Nice. She's the first one to graduate college.
Of all the...
Yeah, because Mitchell's technically still in pharmacy school.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
She's graduating with a...
She studied to be a psychologist,
but she's graduating with a BA.
Yeah,
and then she's looking to go get the old
master's.
Mitchell's got the white coat though, right?
Yeah. He's going to be the kind of pharmacist that can actually,
like, with a mortar and pestle.
Yeah, we can actually grind up
an alchemist.
Apothecary.
Apothecary.
There you go.
Yeah, apothecarist.
Like yeah.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. What's Rachel's degree in?
I think it's psychology. I think she was I think she's going to work for the government or something.
Nice. Intimidated being around psychologists.
I know, right? They psychologize you for sure.
Yeah,
always on you.
Yeah,
what's wrong with you?
And she's the one that's been staying cooking y'all dinner and stuff.
Oh,
right?
yeah.
That's been pretty nice. Absolutely. From what I understand,
cooking me dinner with the bachelor.
Look at that belly over there. You
that's
know
right.
What I mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I gotta make weight on the 17th.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, month. That's yeah. right. That's so. Right.
But no,
you're gaining them LBs from all that great dinner.
That's right. That's right. I may have to actually cut some weight. I was underweight for a while there, so I'm back up to weight now. So
nice. Well, there you go, friends. I think that's going to do it for this episode. Come back.
Do we know what episode this is?
Like 143 or 144 or something
143.
Like that. That's going to do it, though. We will see y'all next week.
Peace.